This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allah.
Babul Adhani wal Iqama. Babul Adhani wal Iqama. The chapter of the Adhan and the Iqama. So we will do with the entire chapter of Adhan and Iqama today, and then inshallah next Tuesday we'll start off with the shurut of Salah. The word Adhan occurs in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and it literally means call. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Proclaim to mankind, Ibrahim is told, to come for Hajj. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Proclaim to mankind that they should come for Hajj. And Allah mentions the Adhan indirectly in the Quran. Not with the word Adhan. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. When the call is given for Salah on the day of Jumu'ah, then come. What is this call? The Adhan. And also in Ma'idah, Surah Ma'idah, Allah says, وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ اتَّخَذُوهَا هُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. When you call to prayer, those people make it a joke. The munafiq and whatnot, they make fun of it, that they're going to pray. So Allah says, وَإِذَا نَادَيْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. When you call them to pray. So Allah explicitly mentions the call, but He doesn't use the word Adhan when it comes to this call. Clear? So the concept of the Adhan is found in the Quran, and as for the Sunnah, of course, so many ahadith, and we're going to mention some of them today. And Iqama simply means to establish. Iqama simply means to establish. And the term Adhan and Iqama is explicitly mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Qudama begins this chapter by saying, وَهُمَا مَشْرُعَانِ لِلصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ دُونَ غَيْرِهَا. And these two, meaning the Adhan and the Iqama, are legislated for the five salawat and not for any other salah. So, Salat al-Janazah does not have Adhan or Iqama. Salat al-Istisqa does not have Adhan or Iqama. Salat al-Eid does not have Adhan or Iqama. Okay? The salawat, the five salawat, they are legislated, mashru'an, for the Adhan and the Iqama. Now, what is the status of the Adhan? Is it wajib? Is it sunnah? Is it fard kifaya? What is it? So, within the Hanbali tradition, the predominant position is that the Adhan is Fard Kifaya. What does Fard Kifaya mean? Means somebody in the community has to do it. In every land, every city, there must be some Muslims giving the Adhan. Somebody's got to do it somewhere. Okay? And Alhamdulillah, that's the way the world works. Alhamdulillah. That never do you have a group of 55, even 5 or 500 Muslims, except that somebody's giving the Adhan somewhere in the city, right? This is the Hanbali position, that the Adhan is Fard Kifaya. The other three Madahib, they say the Adhan is Sunnah, Mu'akkad, is good to do. It's good to do. And the Hanbalis are a bit stricter, and they have their evidences for it, and they say that every city should have somebody giving the Adhan. And the Adhan, he said, لِلْرِجَالِ دُونَ النِّسَاءِ. The Adhan is for men and not for women. The Adhan is for men and not for women. And that is because there is a statement from a number of Sahaba and Tabi'un. It is not a hadith. It is a statement from some of the Sahaba. لَيْسَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ أَذَانٌ وَلَا إِقَامَةٌ. And this is reported from Abu Huraira and from Sa'id ibn Musayyib and other great fuqaha of the earliest generations. لَيْسَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ أَذَانٌ وَلَا إِقَامَةٌ. There is no adhan or iqama for women. So if the women are together and there are no men, it is allowed for them to have a jama'ah, correct? But there is no adhan and there is no iqama upon women. Because the purpose of the adhan is what? Is to call the people in the neighborhood to come and pray. And when there's a group of women, they are the only people that are going to be praying. They're not going to be calling the other men to come and pray. And therefore, whenever there's a group that is only women, there is no adhan or iqama upon them. لِلْرِجَالِ دُونَ النِّسَى وَالْأَذَانُ خَمْسَ عَشْرَةَ كَلِيمَةً. And the adhan consists of 15 phrases. La tarji'a fihi. There is no repetition in it. Wal iqamatu ihda asharata kalima. And the iqama has 11 phrases. Okay, so he gives you the Hanbali position. The adhan has how many phrases? 15. The iqama has how many? 11. Okay, what is this a reference to? In order to understand this, we need to pause 1 second and move to two ahadith that are the crux of the matter. And I'm quoting you from Sunan Abi Dawud, the famous book of Abu Dawud. We quote you the ahadith about the adhan. These are the famous ahadith about the adhan. And hadith number 499 in Sunan Abi Dawud mentions the famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd. The famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd. And this hadith is known as the adhan of Bilal. There are two hadith. One of them is called the adhan of Bilal. And this is this hadith. Okay. Why is it called the adhan of Bilal? Because Bilal gives the adhan in this hadith. He didn't narrate the hadith. Okay. Don't get confused. Bilal did not narrate the hadith. Who narrated it? Abdullah ibn Zayd. And Bilal is the one who gives the adhan. The Hanbali madhab bases its adhan on this hadith, which is the adhan of Bilal. Okay. So what is this hadith? Abdullah bin Zayd said, and I'm quoting you directly from Sunan Abi Dawud, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to allow a bell to be rung so that people can come to the salah. And when he had announced this, I went to sleep and I saw somebody in the dream. Who is this? Abdullah bin Zayd, one of the Sahaba. And he had in his hand a bell. So I said, "Oh Abdullah, can you sell me this bell?" So the man said in the dream, "And what do you want to do with it?" So he said, "I'm going to use it to call people to salah." So this man said, "Shouldn't I tell you something better than this bell?" I said, "Of course." He said, "Say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala as-salah. Hayya 'ala as-salah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah." And that gives us how many? 15 exact. La ilaha illallah. That's the 15th one. Gives us 15 phrases exact. Then he said, "Thumma istakhara 'anni ghayra ba'id." Then he walked a little bit away from me. Then he said, "When you give the iqama, then say." So here we have the adhan and the iqama. When you give the iqama, then say, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, Qamat al-salah, Qamat al-salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah." How many phrases? 11 phrases. Okay? 11 phrases. So, فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحْتُ. When I woke up, I rushed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I told him the whole dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is a true dream. Innaha la ru'ya haqq. This is a true dream from Allah. Stand up, O Bilal." So this is why it's called the adhan of Bilal. "Stand up, O Bilal, and Abdullah ibn Zayd, tell him each phrase. And he will then say it loud, فَإِنَّهُ أَنْدَى صَوْتًا مِنْكَ. Because Bilal has a louder voice than you." Bilal has a louder voice than you. So I stood with Bilal and I would tell him each phrase and he would give the adhan. And Umar ibn al-Khattab heard the adhan and he came rushing out of his house, tying his garment, meaning he wasn't even fully dressed. He's rushing out, just rushing to the masjid. And he said, "I swear by the one who sent you, O Messenger of Allah, I as well saw these phrases in my dream." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alhamdulillah that you have seen this dream." So this is the famous hadith of Bilal. Now, the other hadith is the hadith of Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abi Mahdhura. And that hadith has a slightly different phrasing. And that hadith was taken by the Shafi'is and the Malikis. So in this instance, the Shafi'is and Malikis have a different, slightly different adhan. What is this slightly different adhan? It's a very trivial difference, to be honest. And that's why most people have never heard of it, because you do not hear the difference unless you're the muadhin. And that difference is called tarjir. And that's why in the text in front of us, Ibn Qudama says the adhan is 15 phrases without tarjir, without repetition. Why? Because the Shafi'is have repetition. And the Shafi'is have 19 phrases instead of 15. But what is this repetition? This repetition is that when the muadhin says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, according to the Shafi'i madhab, the muadhin will say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah to himself. Then he will raise his voice and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Then he will say it to himself. Then he will raise his voice. So what's just happened? Two extra phrases there. And then the same with Muhammad Rasulullah, two extra. So from 15 it went up to 19. Okay? So this is the Shafi'i and the Maliki madhab. And this is mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abi Mahdhura. Another hadith which is also authentic. And in it, they have a... So over here, let me just quickly quote you. That Abdullah ibn Mahdhura said that, I said, O Messenger of Allah, teach me the methodology of adhan. So he wiped, the Prophet ﷺ wiped the front of my forehead and he said the whole adhan. Then, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Say this gently. Then raise your voice and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Rasulullah. And the hadith goes on. Okay? So I just quoted you the one phrase that we need to. The rest is the same. I didn't quote you the rest of it. So in this hadith, which is also authentic, the Prophet ﷺ is teaching Abdullah ibn Abi Mahdhura that when you give the adhan, say it to yourself, then raise your voice, then say it to yourself, then raise your voice. Okay? So the Shafi'i say the adhan is 19 phrases, but you only hear, if you're outside, 15 of them. So in essence, there's no ikhtilaf. Correct? In essence, there's no ikhtilaf when it comes to outside of the salah. But in this hadith, by the way, Abdullah bin Mahdhura, there's an interesting phrase. And this is the hadith in Abu Dawud. فَإِنْ كَانَ صَلَاتَ الصُّبْحِ قُلْتْ الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ النَّوْمِ الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ النَّوْمِ If it is the salah of Fajr, then you will say, الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ النَّوْمِ الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ النَّوْمِ Okay? So if it is Fajr, then you have to add these phrases. And this hadith is found in Abdullah ibn Abi Mahdhura. Now, so this is what he is saying, that the adhan is 15 phrases and the iqama is 11 phrases. The iqama is 11 phrases. Now, as for the fact that the iqama is 11 phrases, the iqama being 11 phrases is the position of the Hanbalis and Malikis and Shafi'is. This is the standard position of the Hanbalis, the Shafi'is, and the Malikis. Who's left? The Hanafis. The Hanafis do not have the Iqama being 11 phrases. No. The Hanafis consider that the Adhan and the Iqama will be 17 phrases. The Iqama will be 17 phrases. And this is the Hanafi position. And they have an evidence as well in the hadith that according to one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, so one hadith says, the Prophet ﷺ taught us the adhan, mathna, mathna, and the adhan, mathna, mathna. He taught us the adhan, double, double, and the iqama, double, double. And so the Hanafis understood from this, that double, double meant, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, double, ashhadu anna Rasulullah, double. Okay? And the others have other interpretations that, no, that's not what was intended. It's Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, maybe something. So they understood it differently. But that's another difference between the Hanafis and the other madhahib. And that's why the Hanafi madhab, if any time one of our Hanafi brethren gives the iqama, is slightly different. Because they have slightly different fiqh in this regard. So in the end of the day, all of these are very trivial differences. Alhamdulillah, it's all really in essence the same. It's just a matter of the finer details. But in the Hanbali madhab, the adhan is 15 phrases and the iqama is 11 phrases. Okay? وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ أَمِينًا صَيِّتًا عَالِمًا بِالْأَوْقَاتِ. Who should give the adhan? Who should give the adhan? The adhan should be given by somebody who is amin. Amin means honest. Why somebody who's honest? Because we don't want him to what? Steal the masjid funds? What? Give adhan before timing. Somebody whose timing we can trust. Amin. Sayyid. Sayyid means a strong voice. So of the conditions of giving adhan, so when you're looking at somebody to give the adhan, you look at somebody whose timing we can trust, that he's not going to be that type of person that he wants to break fast early, so he'll give adhan early, mashallah. Okay? So he must be amin. Sayyid, strong, beautiful voice. عَالِمًا بِالْأَوْقَاتِ, who knows the timings of the salah. Who knows the timings of salah. Now as for being amin, it's clearly common sense. You don't need any hadith for this. That the point is the muadhin occupies a position of trust. And the trust here doesn't mean he has to be alim and hafidh of the qira'at and whatnot. No. There's a level of trust that is required. And that level of trust is what? He will give the adhan at the right time. Okay? So if the muadhin, it doesn't have to be the most religious person of the community, because people are different in their religion. He has to be somebody whose religiosity is at least to the level that we can trust him, he's going to give the adhan at the right time. And we need a good voice. And there's a reason for the good voice, a loud voice, right? And in fact, Abdullah ibn Zayd, who saw the adhan, did not give the adhan. Abdullah ibn Zayd, who saw the adhan, I just quoted you the hadith. And it is mentioned in some narrations that he felt kind of sidetracked because he thought he would get the honor. But the Prophet explained why. And he said, Bilal has a louder or a more powerful or a more reverberating voice than you. Anda salt. Bilal's voice is better than your voice. Anda salt. And better here means basically it's going to get more people. And there's no doubt as well that the Sharia wants somebody whose voice as well gives some izzah to the adhan. Because the adhan is of the signs of Islam. The adhan is of Sha'air al-Islam. And therefore, we look at the one who's honest, the one who has a good voice, and the one who knows the timings. Now in our case, we don't need the one who knows the timings. The chart gives it to us, right? So we need the chart whose timings we can trust. That's the big question, okay? Which chart can we trust of the timings? But the point is that it is not required for the muadhin to be the most religious. At the same time, some of the ulama say that he should not be somebody who is a blatant fasiq, an open fasiq. And why is this? Because in the end of the day, the muadhin is being given some position of respect. And if his lifestyle is flouting the sharia, then that's not appropriate as well. The adhan is still valid. But why should you choose somebody whose lifestyle is in flagrant violation? Now, of course, we have to be clear here. This is, we're talking about somebody whose lifestyle is known. As for private sins or something, all of us are sinners. We're not, if you know that, oh, this guy, you know, he smokes cigarettes or he drinks or whatever. But he's not making a public deal about it, right? In this case, it's not your business to go talk about, oh, you know, the muadhin, I saw him, you know, smoke cigarettes. I mean, okay, he's doing something in private. It's not your business to go spill the beans on him. But if he's living a lifestyle that is known to be fasiq, in this case, it is not appropriate. And the ulama have explicitly said that it goes against the perfection of being a muadhin. Because you're not supposed to be flouting the sharia and being given a position of honor. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ, and it is encouraged, أَنْ يُؤَذَّنَ قَائِمًا, that he should give the adhan standing up. Why? Because in the same hadith of Abu Dawood, the Prophet said, قُمْ يَا بِلَال, stand up, O Bilal. So the evidence for standing up is found in this hadith. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ, it is encouraged, which means if the adhan were given sitting down, there is no problem with that. There is not a shart of the adhan. It's not a rukun of the adhan. It is allowed for the adhan to be given sitting down. And of course, it's common sense. Why would the adhan be given standing up in the good old days? Because you want the voice to go everywhere. And in our times, if there's a person with a good voice on a wheelchair, for example, we should not stop him from giving the adhan at all, because the microphone has now taken that. But if a person is healthy and is able to, then there is no doubt, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ, the general sunnah, and there is no difference here, that it is encouraged and it is sunnah for the muadhin to stand up. مُتَطَهِّرًا, with wudu. So it is sunnah to have wudu when you give the adhan. It is not required. It's not something that is necessary. The adhan is valid for the one who does not have wudu. But it is encouraged for him, if he has time, that he goes and does wudu before he gives the adhan. In case he does not have time, and it is time to give the adhan, then it is allowed for him to give the adhan. None of the madhahib required the muadhin to have wudu when he gives adhan. He'd better have wudu when he prays. So after the adhan, he better do wudu. But giving the adhan does not require wudu. It is encouraged. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ. So to be standing and to be in a state of purity, عَلَى مَوْضِعٍ عَالٍ, in a very high piece of land, or as high as he can go. And it is narrated authentically that one of the Ansar said that Bilal would climb up onto my house to give the adhan, because I had the highest house in the neighborhood of the masjid. Hadith is in Abu Dawud as well. Bilal would climb onto my house, this Ansari would say, because the minarets did not exist in the time of the Prophet. There were no minarets. This was the Umayyads started the minarets. The minarets did not exist. So where did Bilal give the adhan? He would not give it on top of the masjid of the Prophet, because that had a low roof. He would actually go to the house of this Ansari, and his name is mentioned, it's escaping me now. He would go to the house of this Ansari, and he would stand on that house. Why? Because he said, I had the highest house. So from this we extract, and it's common sense as well, that of the sunnah of adhan is what? That you give it from a high place. عَلَى مَوْضِعٍ عَالٍ. And of course this sunnah, because we understand why, and there is no ritual associated with standing high, it's just because of voice, that sunnah does not need to be resurrected in our times. Because there's something in the sharia called a ruling that you understand, ma'qulat al-ma'na. And standing high up, we understand why that was the case. It is not something that is intended in and of itself that you should stand high, correct? It's something to get the voice across. So in our times, if we have microphones, is it still sunnah for the muadhin to go and stand on a minaret? No, there's no need to know, because we understand why that was the case. مُسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَ, facing the qibla. And facing the qibla, because we learn as well from the hadith of Bilal that he faced the qibla when he gave the adhan. So Bilal radiallahu anhu established the sunnah, and all of the madhahib basically followed suit as well, that it is sunnah to give the adhan facing the qibla, but it is not a requirement. So in case somebody gave the adhan in another direction, and by the way, this is actually very common. I will tell you so many times when we go to a conference or a lecture hall, the microphone is set up in a particular direction, and you cannot face towards the qibla. So the muadhin has to sometimes stand and face the microphone. And this is completely halal and jaiz, and the adhan is completely valid. The adhan does not have to be given facing the qibla. It is sunnah. Okay? Of course, if you're able to do it, otherwise it is forgiven. So he gives the adhan standing up upon tahara in a high place facing the qibla. فَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْحَيْعَلَى إِلْتَفَتَ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا وَلَا يُزِيلُ قَدَمَيْهِ. When he reaches the hay'ala, the hay'ala is of course hay'ala al-salah and hay'ala al-falah. When he reaches the hay'ala, then he should turn to the right and then to the left without moving his feet. Meaning, he should not turn that much that his feet change direction as well. Just turn and then turn. And this sunnah as well was established by Bilal, because it is authentically narrated by Abu Juhayfa in Sahih al-Bukhari. Abu Juhayfa narrates that I saw Bilal give the adhan, and I saw his mouth go right and left when he said, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Bukhari and Muslim. So the hadith of Muttafaq alayh. So most of the sunnahs of adhan, we learn them from the hadith of Bilal, because Bilal is the one giving the adhan. So Bilal radiallahu anhu, we assume he got this from the Prophet ﷺ. Even if he didn't, the fact that he's giving adhan in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ is seeing this, is a stamp of approval. Okay? So regardless of whether this issue was taught to him or he's simply doing it, whatever is done, you should know this from your basic hadith classes, that whatever is done by a Muslim in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ does not say anything, becomes the stamp of approval. Okay? Anybody who does anything, as a Muslim obviously, in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ is silent, this means it's legitimate. And especially when it's an action of worship, it becomes not just legitimate sunnah. So Bilal is giving the adhan, and when he says, Hayya ala salah, he turns yameen. Hayya ala al-falah, he turns shimal. This becomes sunnah. And therefore, all over the madhahib have agreed that the muadhin should turn right and left, and it is good to do that. Wala yuzilu qadamayhi, and he should not change his feet. Why is this? This is based on one hadith that the narrator Abu Juhayfa says, and he didn't turn all the way around. That's what the hadith says. He didn't turn all the way around. So the narrator is making a point that the turning was not that much. So from it, the Hanbali is basically extracted, and this is pretty much as well agreed upon. Now, by the way, it was very common in the past that some of the muadhins would walk around. Why would they walk around? Get more people, right? That's why there were circular pulpits up there, right? And the top of the minaret, you would have the circle. So some of the muadhins and some of the madhahib allowed this if you wanted to get the voice across, okay? But the Hanbali madhab said, no, it should just be done in one direction and just try your best as much as you can. Yameen and shimal, and you've done your job. And some people said, you know what, we need to get the maximum voice, so let him go there for one adhan, and then before he finishes, turn around this way and finish up the adhan on the other side. And there's a minor difference of opinion, but nonetheless, the majority said that he should not move all the way around. وَيَجْعَلُ إِصْبَعَيْهِ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ, and he should put his fingers inside of his ears. And again, this is coming straight from the hadith of Bilal as well, that Abu Juhayfa says, I saw Bilal put his fingers in his ears and then give the adhan, yarfa'u biha sawta, raising his voice. So one of the hadith of Bilal explicitly mentions he put his hand in his ears. So from this, we also take this as a sunnah. Now, there doesn't seem to be any reason why you do that, but some scholars have derived one or two reasons. Of the reasons is that when you put your hands up, you give more space for the lungs to breathe in. Right? So anybody who is a qari, anybody who is a muadhin, you know this, that when you put your chest up, your rib cage expands, and therefore you have more space to breathe in and you have more space to breathe out. That's why Qari Abdul Basit, why does he do this, right? Get it up there, and then you get the rib cage up like that. So that's one reason. Another reason is that you don't want to be disturbed. You have to give the adhan. I'm not going to be disturbed by any other sounds around me. I have to concentrate on giving the adhan. So it is sunnah. وَيَجْعَلُ إِصْبَعِهِ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ وَيَتَرَسَّلُ فِي الْأَذَانِ وَيَحْدُرُ الْإِقَامَةِ وَيَتَرَسَّلُ فِي الْأَذَانِ وَيَحْدُرُ فِي الْإِقَامَةِ, and he should give the adhan slowly, and he should give the iqama quickly. So this is explicitly mentioned in the books of fiqh. And this is mentioned in a hadith in Tirmidhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Bilal, when you give the adhan, be slow, and when you give the iqama, be quick. This hadith is in Tirmidhi. O Bilal, when you give the adhan, be slow, and when you give the iqama, be quick. And this sunnah is once again followed by all of the scholars of Islam. Wherever you go in the Muslim world, right, the adhan is given in a slow, melodious voice, and the iqama is given quickly. Okay, and this is the sunnah that all the madhahib have agreed to. وَيَقُولُ فِي أَذَانِ الصُّبْحِ, ويقول في and one of the reasons as well, by the way, one of the reasons as well is that a person should be able to hear simply by the speed, whether it's adhan or iqamah. And this is something as well that we automatically know simply by hearing the guy, is this adhan or iqamah? So there's a wisdom here as well, that the adhan should be given slow and melodious, the iqamah should be given quickly so that the person automatically understands. And as well, it is one of the reasons mentioned that the adhan should be given long is because the purpose of the adhan is to tell people to come to the masjid. And that takes time. And it'll take you 3, 4, 5 minutes. And a good long adhan can last 2, 3 minutes. Okay? So the point is slow, let the people come. And the iqamah, the people should already be there. We hope the people should already be there, right? Unfortunately, that's not the case. But we hope the people should be there. So the iqamah is not meant to call the people. It's meant just to start the salah. So short, quick, to the point. And that's why the iqamah is given in 30 seconds. Okay? So this is from the hadith. Ya Bilal, when you give the adhan, go slow. And when you give the iqamah, go fast. And by the way, one of the points, by the way, that I always emphasize to my students when I teach fiqh is that one of the things I really loved about studying fiqh is that it makes you realize why we do certain things. It's always healthy to be reconnected to why. So just to know that Bilal was told, take your time with the adhan, be quick in the iqamah. Even though every one of us knows it, we don't know why we know it, right? We don't know where it comes from. Just to know that, it makes us feel so peaceful. To me, I don't know about you, it makes you feel so much in connection with the tradition. Like you know why we're doing certain things. Where does it come from? And it's something that one of the reasons why it's so useful to study even basic fiqh. That, you know, where did As-salatu khayru min an-nawm come from? Now we just studied right now in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdullah bin Mahdura. He said to him, when you give the adhan of subh, then say, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm, for example, right? It's there right in the hadith of Tirmidhi and Ibn Khuzaym and others. In any case, here we get to the next point. وَيَقُولُ فِي أَذَانِ الصُّبْحِ الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ النَّوْمِ مَرَّتَيْنِ بَعْدَ الْحَيِّ عَلَى. And he should say in the adhan of Fajr, he should say in the adhan of Subh, two times, الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ النَّوْمِ بَعْدَ الْحَيِّ عَلَى. After حَيِّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ حَيِّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ. Okay, after saying that, he should add As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. And the fiqhi term for this is At-tathweeb. At-tathweeb. This is the fiqhi term, At-tathweeb. And this At-tathweeb is narrated in a number of traditions. I already gave one of them, also in Sunan al-Nisa'i, also in Ibn Khuzaym al-Sahih, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Abu Mahdhura. He taught Abu Mahdhura that when you say the adhan for Fajr, then say as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, and then move on to say Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. And this is the standard position of the Shafi'is and Malikis and Hanbalis. If I'm not mistaken, Hanafis do not do this, correct? As-salatu khayrun, they do this? They do it. Okay, I will look it up then. So the Hanafis, they have between the adhan and iqamah of Fajr, do they do something else? I'll have to look this up. I remember there's another thing in the Hanafi. So one of my points is that, no, we're going to come to this issue. That one we're going to come to. We're going to come to this issue too. Actually, we're going to come to it right now. So, as-salatu khayru min an-nawm. Now, suppose in the adhan of Fajr, the person forgot. The adhan of Fajr, if the person forgot to say as-salatu khayru min an-nawm, the scholars say it is not a necessary part. It's not from the asl of adhan. So if the muadhin forgets, he doesn't have to repeat the adhan. The adhan is still valid as it is. And so, as-salatu khayru min an-nawm, it's sunnah to say in Fajr. If the muadhin forgets, and it's very common in the morning for muadhins to forget, then the adhan is still valid. وَلَا يُؤَذَّنُ قَبْلَ الْوَقْتِ إِلَّا لَهَا. And it is never allowed to give the adhan before the timing of adhan except for Fajr. It is not allowed to give the adhan before the timing of adhan except for Salat al-Fajr. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إن بلالا يؤذن بليل فكلوا واشربوا حتى يؤذن ابن أم مكتوم. Bilal gives the adhan at night, continue to eat and drink until Ibn Umm Maktum gives the adhan. This is the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that clearly shows that Fajr is supposed to have two adhans. The first of them is sunnah and the second is wajib. So we should have two adhans for Fajr. It's good to. But it is the second adhan that is the more important of the two. So I don't think in our masjid we have two adhans, and that's fine. We have a small community, no big deal. The larger masajid, especially the masajid that are in Muslim areas where the microphones are on and whatnot, there should be two adhans. Why? Because the first Fajr adhan is meant to wake up the people who want to fast and to cause those who are praying tahajjud to stop praying and then get ready for the salah. Okay? So there's a purpose for the first adhan. There's a purpose for the first adhan, and that is sunnah. And that's the adhan of Bilal that he would give it. Bilal would give an earlier adhan. And the Prophet ﷺ allowed it and encouraged it. And he explained to the people, Bilal gives the adhan at night. So continue eating and drinking until the adhan of Ibn Ummi Maktum, which clearly demonstrates two adhans were intended. Two adhans were intended. And these two adhans even had two different muadhins. Why? So that people recognize there's two different muadhins. Everybody recognizes the qari, the sawt or the voice. So the voice of Bilal was meant to wake up the one who wants to fast, or to make the one who's praying the tahajjud stop so that they can ready for Fajr. And then Ibn Ummi Maktoum's adhan was the adhan, okay, make your way to the masjid. Okay, so it is sunnah to have two adhans, but the first one of them is sunnah. And the second one is the primary one that we really must have in every single masjid. And therefore, as he said that, you never give the adhan before its time except for it, meaning except for Fajr. So the only salah that you give adhan before its time is Salat al-Fajr. The only adhan you give, now, but if you do that, then this means what? If you give the adhan of Fajr before Fajr, this means what? You must give the second adhan. Okay? You understand, or am I losing you? The Fajr, you are allowed to give one adhan, and that's the one at its time. If you want to give two, then you give the one earlier, and then the second adhan will be right at the time of Fajr. Okay? So this is the only salah, he said, that you're allowed to give the adhan before its timing. Otherwise, it is not allowed to give the adhan. And then the final, we'll leave Queenie right now. The final phrase, وَيُسْتَحَبُّ لِمَنْ سَمِعَ الْمُؤَذِّنِ أَنْ يَقُولَ كَمَا يَقُولَ لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ النِّدَاءَ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولَ. And it is encouraged, it is sunnah, for the one who hears the muadhin to repeat after him and say all that he says, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you hear the call, then say as the muadhin says. Then say as the muadhin says. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well said that whoever repeats after the adhan all that the muadhin says, and he says it khalisan min qalbihi, from the sincerity of his heart, this person will enter Jannah. So to repeat the adhan and to then make the dua, which is the famous dua, Allahumma rabb hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'ima ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wa ba'ath al-maqam al-mahmud alladhi wa'adta. If you would say this dua, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever says this sincerely, my shafa'ah becomes obligatory for him on the Day of Judgment. So what an amazing hadith that every single time we hear the adhan, we should make this dua. Allahumma rabb hadhihi da'wati tamma. O Allah, the Lord of this perfect call. So the adhan is the perfect call. The adhan is da'wati tamma. Was-salati al-qa'ima. And the Lord of this established prayer. The one we are praying for and to. والصلاه القائمه آتي محمدا الوسيله والفضيله. Give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the wasila and the fadila. And the wasila and the fadila are ranks or statuses in Jannah. The wasila and the fadila our ranks and status is in Jannah. These are the highest ranks of Jannah. آتِ مُحَمَّدًا الْوَسِيلَةَ وَالْفَضِيلَةَ. So we say to Allah Azza wa Jal, we ask Him, O Allah, give our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the highest wasila and fadila, وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, and resurrect him upon the praiseworthy status. مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ, that you promised him. And what is the praiseworthy status? The praiseworthy status is the status on the Day of Judgment that will be given to one person. And we talked about this so many times in the seerah and in hadith. And that will be the Prophet. What is that status? What is the point? What is it? What is it? Shafa'a. All the ummas. Yes, not the ummah. Shafa'a for all of mankind. That's why it's maqam al-mahmud. All of mankind will go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they will tell him to make shafa'ah in front of Allah to begin the Day of Judgment. So this is maqam al-mahmud, the highest maqam that mankind will elect a representative to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of mankind, unanimously. And that is the maqam al-mahmud. So, وَبَعَثْهُ, resurrect him upon the maqam al-mahmud that you promised him. So our Prophet ﷺ said, whoever makes this dua for me, my shafa'ah becomes obligatory for him. So that is why we, after the adhan, we repeat the adhan. And of course, the one phrase that we don't repeat is that, of course, and this is in the hadith as well, that when you hear hayya 'ala salah, hayya 'ala falah, then we say la hawla wa quwwata illa billah, because the muadhin is saying, come here. Hayya ala salah. It makes no sense. We say, no, you come back here. Hayya ala salah. Right? It makes no sense to then say, no, hayya ala, come my way. It doesn't make sense. So when the muadhin says, hayya ala salah or hayya ala falah, that's the one time where we don't repeat what the muadhin says because it's illogical. Rather, we make a dua to Allah. Oh Allah, give me the power to change and stand up and walk to the masjid. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's the meaning here. That when the muadhin says, come to salah and come to success, so we say, oh Allah, give me the power to change. Give me the status. Give me the hawl, change. And quwwa, the power. Because you have to change. You're sitting, you have to stand up. You're standing, you have to walk. And you have to have the power to do that. So la hawla wa la quwwata illa, we say it after the hayy alaz. And then, of course, the final point, which is not over here, but the adhan itself is, of course, a great act of worship. And the muadhin has been promised many, many rewards on the Day of Judgment. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if they knew what is the blessing of the adhan, and they would have no option other than to give lots, they would give lots to give the adhan. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the muadhinun will have the longest necks, meaning they'll be the most recognized on the Day of Judgment. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that never does a person give adhan, even in the wilderness, except that everything that hears his testimony from Hajar and from Shajar, from everything around him, from even the sheep and whatnot, they will testify to his adhan on the Day of Judgment. And that is why we should also give adhan even when we're alone. It is sunnah to give adhan, as we said, even when we are alone. And only in the case of a masjid should the adhan not be repeated. Because the purpose of giving one adhan in the masjid is the timing. But otherwise, we may give adhan in our houses when we stand for prayer. And as well, that is why at least we give the iqamah when we stand up for prayer. This is the sunnah of basically the Muslims, and it is a valid sunnah that when we're just having our own jama'ah, so we just give the iqamah. And that's also valid, even though it's not a requirement. We just said that adhan and iqamah is fard kifaya, which means if somebody's doing it, you don't have to do it. So in case you were five of us together praying, and we said, khalas, let's just pray fajr, let's pray isha, let's pray maghrib, we don't have to give adhan or iqamah. We can just start and I say, Allahu Akbar, you guys pray behind me. That's fine. But of course, the purpose of the iqamah is what? It makes us psychologically ready. We straighten the rows. There's fa'idah, there's benefit there. And as well, giving the iqamah has the benefit of the people's the objects around that have heard you, they will testify for you. And with that, are there any quick questions about the Adhan and Iqama translation? And once again, the book is Al-Umda of Ibn Qudama Al-Maqdisi. Any quick questions? Yes. So the question is that should there be some distance between the muadhins, because in Muslim lands you have microphones everywhere and it actually might even become too loud and too irritating. So this is something that should be taken up by the awqaf and the Islamic sections of those lands. There's no doubt that the Sharia does not want to cause nuisance and irritation. And you are correct that when the loudspeaker is blaring at top volume and there's five masajid in the vicinity, that for some people it does become a nuisance. And this is a valid point. Obviously, you're not going to find anything in the classical textbooks, because how loud can the voice, the human voice, be? The human voice is not going to be a nuisance, but the microphone is 10 times the human voice, right? And I have experienced as well that you go to somebody's house and the minaret is right outside and the microphones are facing the window, right? I remember I would visit one of my friends in Mecca, and not the Haram, but one of the local masjids outside of Mecca, literally on the third floor, and the minaret's microphone, big, huge microphone outside his window. I mean, literally, you're going to jump when the Adhan calls. You get terrified, like, what's going on? Because it's right in there and you cannot concentrate. So clearly, I mean, there's no doubt the Sharia does not require that type of thing. So a reasonable, but there's not going to be something found in the books of fiqh. So again, yes, I agree with you. Like the congregated voices, that is true as well. But these types of issues need to be dealt with at a municipal level, right? But then it becomes a noise competition. Every group wants to show that we are the louder one. Right? That's the problem. And within the Muslim Ummah, each firqa wants to show they are the loudest as well. Yes. Right? So it just becomes a show. And there's no doubt this is not something the Sharia wants. You want to still ask, or that was the question? So being a minority situation, our fuqaha have said in America that, and in all Western lands, that the greater good in these lands is that we don't make ourselves a nuisance to our neighbors. And therefore, for most masjids in America, they should not be giving adhans loudly, because the people are going to cause it to be banned. And that's understandable. That is understandable. So in our cases, we should not be aiming to irritate the people around us. There are places in America, pockets in America, where the masjid is surrounded by Muslim houses, and they do give adhan on loudspeaker. And there's an even better system that, where was I recently? SubhanAllah, which city? It's all a blur, all the cities I go to. But I was in a city recently where, and again, the masjid is in a densely populated Muslim area, but they had a new system. And that is that you purchase a small box from the masjid and it is connected via radio to the muadhin. So when the muadhin basically gives the adhan, it doesn't go on the loudspeaker outside. It goes on your house, wherever you place it, and you have the control in your own house, right? So it's a special one way only that the muadhin's adhan will come, and you have the volume control and you can turn it off if you want to as well. So that's, I think, an excellent compromise, that within a vicinity of whatever, how many miles or whatever, this is a good compromise that you can purchase this box and then it can be around that neighborhood. And that's, I think, the middle ground, inshallah. Go ahead, bismillah. How do you mean by the telephone? What would be the purpose of adhan by telephone? Oh, recording. No. That's not telephone. That's recording, say. Not telephone. The recording, you mean. No. The adhan of a recording would not be considered adhan, because adhan is an act of worship. And an act of worship has to have niyyah. niyyah cannot be given by a CD or by YouTube. Okay? You can listen to it as much as you want, but it will not take the purpose of the adhan. Okay? Because the adhan is an act of worship, and the number one condition of an act of worship is ibadah, is ikhlas, is niyyah. You have to have niyyah. So the adhan cannot be done. And there are fatawa from the 50s when the CD or audio was invented, or cassette. There are fatawa from the 50s. You cannot just put in an audio and then play your favorite adhan and then be it. No. Even if somebody, so we don't have Abdul Basit, right? Abdul Basit's adhan, mashallah, tabarakallah. He has adhan, by the way. Abdul Basit has adhan. It's on YouTube. You can listen to it. Great, beautiful adhan. Or you have the adhan of Haram, Makkah, and Medina. Even in that case, we'll find somebody whose voice is not that good. That's okay. But it's a live adhan. So it must be a live adhan.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِ وَتُخْفِي الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وَتَأْبَى فِي الْهَوَى قُرْبِي فَتُبْ مِمَّا جَنَيْتَ عَسَى تَعُودُ إِلَى رِضَى الرَّبِّي تَعُودُ إِلَى رِضَى الرَّبِّي